I too would like to thank you for being here today. I know that you love the Lord Jesus Christ and you want to honor him, but I also know that this is a very important family day. So thank you for taking time out from a very busy schedule to be here in our service today. Now, today is very special for a couple of reasons. First of all, it's special because it's the Lord's Day, but it's also the day that we celebrate his birth. And for all that God granted us on this day, you know, we think of salvation and eternal life, but none of that would have happened had he not been born. And he was born the same way that you and I were, and experienced every single emotion, every feeling, every hurt, every sorrow that we express, and therefore he knows exactly where we are today. He's here with us, and we thank the Lord for that indeed. Now, our scripture for today comes from the book of Luke, St. Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, a very familiar area of scripture that you probably have read many times, but let's look at it again. Luke 2, verses 1 through 7. Simply says, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This first census was took while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful today for the love that you have shown to us in sending your Son, Jesus Christ. We're thankful that we are blessed in so many ways. We have a country, God, that we enjoy much freedom indeed, and we thank you for that. Lord, we're here because that we love you, and we know that these people love you, and we thank you, Lord, just for all of your many blessings. They're great indeed. It's a time of family. It's a time that we share together, and we just want to praise your holy and wonderful name because you are the source of all blessings. Lead, God, and direct us in all that we do. In Christ's name we pray it. Amen. Now, today is probably a day that you look forward to, that you planned for and prepared for a long time. And now it's here. As a matter of fact, Christmas, we have already celebrated Christmas, most of us have. The gifts were bought, the gifts were exchanged, we opened them up, we enjoyed them probably. Several of us have. And before too long, if we're not careful, we'll just go away back to our normal routine of life. And a lot of people will do that. Christmas Day, they'll enjoy the moment. They'll enjoy the exchanges of gifts, the time with their family, the food, the fellowship. But before long, well, they will go back to their normal routine of school or work or their normal activities of life. But I think that we as Christians, we who know God, have a greater responsibility because this is a very special day to us. God sent his Son. He sent him here to forgive us of our sins. He sent him here to give us eternal life indeed. And I think as Christians, we have three important responsibilities. Our first responsibility is this. We must remember the gift that was given to us. Remember the gift that was given to us. And let's remember this. The most precious gift that was ever given, the most expensive, the greatest sacrifice was behind it, was the gift that God gave to us on Christmas Day. And certainly we all like to receive gifts. But no gift that we have ever received, no gift that was ever given to us, compares in importance to what God gave us on this first Christmas Day. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, the angels announced, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And that was a cause for excitement. The angels rejoiced. They proclaimed the name of God. And if they did that, we need to do that as well. Now, why was this such an important gift? For several reasons. First of all, we need to remember this gift because it was a gift of forgiveness to us. And we're all sinners. We've all transgressed against God. We have disobeyed His commandments. We have made wrong choices. We have done things and said things that we should not have done. And certainly I would include myself greatly in that category. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But in spite of that, God has granted us forgiveness of every one of those sins. And it doesn't matter how black they were, it doesn't matter how bad they were, it doesn't matter how cruel or, you know, that we may have been in times past. Isn't it good to know that God is a forgiving God? That He forgives us of every wrong that we have done? Sometimes we don't want to be forgiving. Sometimes someone says something or does something to us and it's just a small thing and we don't want to forgive it. But time after time after time, God has forgiven us, and that is exactly what the message of Jesus Christ means. That our sins, though many, have been washed away. And you know, God has a unique ability. God is omnipotent. He can do everything. But there's one thing that God will not ever do, and that's remember a sin that we have committed against Him that's been put under the blood of Jesus Christ by faith. So that's a wonderful thing to know today, that though we're sinners, though we've done wrong, the gift of forgiveness has been granted to us. Now, when Christ was born, Israel had been living in sin and disobedience for a long time. They really had. Matter of fact, they had gotten away from God to the point that God said that they would suffer the consequences of their actions, and they were suffering the consequences of those actions. They got over into Israel. It was a promised land, and God blessed them under the rules of David and Solomon. And they were a very powerful nation. They were the envy of the world. But because they forgot about God and because they began to disobey God, God sent them punishment. And they were once a very strong nation, and now they were a very weak nation. They had once been the envy of the world, and now they had lost their freedom, and they did not have their freedom anymore. They were subjected to the rule of the Roman Empire, and they did not enjoy losing their freedom. But the message of Christmas was this, that God still loved them. God was willing to make amends, but was willing to forget about the past and forgive them the things that they had done, and therefore He would bless them in a very real way indeed. Now, you know, the Bible promises us this, and it's talking to sinners and to Christians. It says, if we'll confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that's what kind of God that we have. So God, the gift of Christmas is a gift that Jesus Christ has come. He's come to bring us salvation. And by the way, let's give a hand to a 99-year-old woman who's just come into the back. That's my mother today. That's a special gift to me. And by the way, I've told you that, you know, some of the things that I did before I was saved and so forth when I was a boy. She can verify all those things, but we'll not ask her to go into those today. But in all seriousness, in spite of the fact that we have done wrong, God is a very forgiving God. He has granted us the gift of forgiveness. It's like a young man once. He was only 18 years old, but he had gotten his driver's license, and he had driven for a couple of years, but like many people, unfortunately, and probably myself at that age, he thought that his abilities were greater than they were, and he was out on the road. He was speeding. He was breaking the law. He was driving recklessly. He was involved in a serious accident, and though he was not injured, as in many cases this is true, other people were very seriously injured. And he was found guilty of reckless driving. And he served a long term of probation, and his probation was over. But he still felt very guilty of it. But the probation officer told him, he said, listen, son, he said, you made a wrong choice. You did something that was bad. But he said, you have paid the price now, and the law has forgiven you. We know God has done that. The gift of Jesus Christ is the gift of forgiveness, for which we ought to be deeply appreciative indeed. Now, the second gift that we were given is not only the gift of forgiveness, it's the gift of the fact that we have the Lord's help with us in every situation of life. And He is always there for us. He was always there to supply our needs according to His riches and glory. He's always there to bless us in a very special way. And the coming of Jesus Christ reminds us of this, that the world is not always an easy place in which to live, is it? We all have troubles, we all have difficulties, things can happen to us financially, things can happen to us physically, people can sometimes disappoint us, work can go wrong, marriages, children, many times we experience problems of life, but God is always there to help us. God is always there to supply our needs according to His riches and glory. So we have His presence, we have His help in our time of need. As a matter of fact, the Bible says this, if we have problems, if we have difficulties, it says, cast all your cares upon Him because He cares for you. So God will give us strength, God will give us grace, God will give us His help, and that's part of the gift of Christmas that came indeed. And not only we remember at this time of the year, not only does God love us, other people love us too. They really do. Everybody in this room, we all love each other. We all pray for each other. And when you have a problem, I have a problem. I promise you that. And I feel that the same is true with me. When I have difficulties and so forth, I know that you share those areas with me, and you pray for me, you uplift me in prayer, and I do the same thing for you. That is our responsibility as Christians indeed. And the Bible says to bear each other's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You know, a little song that's on TV just recently is, lend a helping hand to your fellow man, have a little love in your heart. You heard that? That's so very true right there. And at Christmas time, let's remember that God loves us, and let's remember that other people love us, and they will help us in any area of life. Thirdly, the gift that was given to us at Christmas was not only the gift of forgiveness and God's help, it's a gift for future hope. Now, when the angels appeared to the shepherds and announced to them Christ's birth, let's never forget this, that the world had been in darkness for over 400 years. You know, it had been 400 years from the closing of the Old Testament to the coming of Jesus Christ. There had been virtually 400 years of silence. Nobody had written any scripture. God had not spoken in the visual ways, and He had not sent prophets to a great degree that he once did. And people were very discouraged. They were very worried. But here was the message, that there was hope for the future, that God was still on the throne, that He still loved them, that He was going to bless them. And you know, when we look around at our world today, we see a lot of problems, don't we? We see the constant threat of terrorism. There's no place that seems seemingly safe anymore. Church is not completely safe because people have broken into churches and killed innocent people. Schools are not safe. It's not safe to be in a public place many times, theaters and things like this. In Berlin just a week or so ago, just a few days ago, you know, people were innocently killed, just a crowd of people. A bus was driven into a crowd. There's no safe place. The world is getting worse and worse, and the Bible predicts that it would. But one thing that's good to know this time of the year is there's hope for the future because Jesus Christ came to this world, and our hope is in Him, and our future is very secure because if we serve Him, we have eternal security indeed. Point number two, our response to Christ's birth, we should respond correctly, I should say, to Christ's birth. Now let's remember this. Whenever we respond to Christ's birth, we must always avoid at all costs responding the way that some of the people did when the Lord first came to this world. For instance, we should not respond the way that the innkeeper did. Now, I don't think that he was a terrible guy necessarily, But we do find that we've placed him as a villain in our minds because he did not have any room for Jesus Christ in his establishment. There was no place for, even though she was expectant, there was no place for Mary and Joseph, there was no place for Christ to be born except in a stable, in a manger. But before we become too critical, before we become, you know, villainize this person too much, let's remember this. There are a lot of people, including us sometimes, we don't have room for Christ in our life because we're so busy. We don't make that room. We don't make that time for Christ Jesus that we need to make. But he was a man who had no room for Christ, and the world is like that. We must not respond that way. We must always take time to pray, to praise the Lord, to thank the Lord, all the things that he has done, make room to live for him and live in a way that he would have us to live. Second of all, we should not respond the same way that the scribes and Pharisees and even the high priest did. Because as far as they were concerned, Christ was never born. They did not even acknowledge the fact that he came. They should have been looking for him. They should have been perceptive of the signs and the indication. They should have known the prophecies like Micah, but they did not do anything to acknowledge the birth of Jesus Christ. And you know, to some people, unfortunately, today is just like any other day. It's just another day in which they can be with friends and families and exchange gifts, but the spiritual meaning of the whole thing just goes out the window. It's nothing to them. The town of Bethlehem ignored the birth of Christ. You know, I thought about the innkeeper, and I mentioned him a second ago, but every time I think about the innkeeper, you know what he missed out on? He not only missed out on great blessing, spiritual blessing of Christ being born and coming to his heart and being his Savior, he missed out on a financial blessing because he could have publicized that for years and years and years, kept his place completely full to say that Christ was born right here in this place. And that would have been a very good business decision for him, as well as a spiritual decision indeed. Herod did not respond correctly, did he? When the wise men came to ask Herod, the king, where Christ had been born, the king, because we have seen his star in the east, he was very distressed. He was very upset by this. He responded with rage, with anger and jealousy. And he did not want anybody ruling over him. He did not want another king besides himself. And you know, we live in a very selfish world today, and if we're not careful, we'll get caught up in that selfishness. We'll be just as selfish. We'll say, well, you know, it's me first and what I want, and doesn't matter what God wants. You know, it's me and mine and how I feel, and no one else is important. But I think that our response should not be like these people, but it should be, first of all, it should be like Joseph and Mary, their response. And their response was to obey the Lord. Now, you know, when the angel appeared to Mary and told her that she would bear the Christ child, she sat in awe. She could not believe it, and that was a good response. First of all, she asked the question. She said, well, how can this be? Because since I've known no man, I'm a virgin. How in the world can I possibly have a child? And the angel responded that that which is in you will be conceived by the Holy Ghost. It will be a miracle of God like no other miracle indeed. But her response was, yes, Lord, if that is what you have chosen me, and I'm very honored by that, but I will obey you. I will do exactly what you want me to do. And you know, Joseph was the very same way. When the angel appeared to him and he had found out already, word had gotten around that Mary was pregnant, she was expecting a child. And naturally, in his own mind, the only idea that he could come up with, the only thing that seemed conceivable to him was that she had been unfaithful to him. But when the angel appeared to him and says, fear not, Joseph, to take Mary as your wife, because that which is conceived in her is the Holy Ghost, the Bible says that he willingly obeyed the Lord. He did exactly what God wanted him to do. He took Mary, and he did not know her sexually until after the birth of Christ. So two obedient people. And Let's remember this. We have the responsibility. We must respond correctly to Christ this way too. Whatever God tells us to do, we must do it. It's time for obedience. The Bible says to obey is better than sacrifice. To obey is as important as coming to church. To obey is to do what God would have you to do in every area of your life. So let's respond with obedience the same way that Mary and Joseph did. Let's respond also the way that Mary did with praise and worship to the Lord. Read Luke chapter 1, 46 through 55, and you'll find what many people have called the Magnificat. And this is Mary, once she found out that she was going to have the Christ child. She praised God. She worshiped God. She thanked God for honoring her and blessing her in such a way. And you know, we all have a lot to be thankful for because God has chosen us. God has blessed us. He's not given us all the same responsibilities, but we need to respond with praise and love and worship to Him for all of His many blessings of life. And then thirdly, we need to have the same kind of response that the shepherds did. Now, the Bible tells us that they were in the fields watching over their flock by night, and the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and they were so afraid. But the angel said this, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find Mary and Joseph and the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And the Bible goes on to say that suddenly, after this announcement, with that angel, suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Now that must have been an awesome sight. That must have been a spiritual high for them to be out there watching over their flocks. And lo, an angel, first of all, a single angel speaks and says, I have an announcement that Christ is to be born. And then all of a sudden, the whole host of heavenly beings, they rejoice and they praise God and for the coming of Christ Jesus. So what did they do? Did they just enjoy this spiritual high and say, "Boy, what a blessing indeed, and we're very honored that God has appeared to us"? They did that, but they did something else that was practical. They went and investigated for themselves, and then they went and told everybody what they had seen and witnessed personally. You know, God blesses us sometimes, say in a revival or a special service or something like this, and we just enjoy that moment, and we're on a spiritual high. But what do we do with it? How do we carry it out? What do these men do? The Bible says this. After the angels left them and had gone into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us go into Bethlehem and see this thing which is coming to pass." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, which was lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word that he had been born and about this Christ child. And everybody that heard them, the Bible says, was amazed at what they had told them. And then the Bible says the shepherds returned glorifying God for all that they had seen and heard. So in other words, they were witnesses. They told other people about the Christ. You know, we have the responsibility of being a witness, to be a messenger for God. The best news that the world has ever heard is that Christ has been born, that Christ loves them, that Christ will forgive them. And the main way that message of God's love and God's salvation gets out to a lost and dying world is through you and me who know Christ, have experienced Him in a very personal way, the same way as these shepherds did. So how are we going to respond? Are we going to respond with the fact that we investigate for ourselves, we have this personal experience, and we go and tell others? Are we going to respond with obedience the same way that Mary and Joseph did? Are we going to respond with worship the way that Mary did when she found out that she was honored by God in this way? And are we going to respond like the wise men did, the Magi? Are we going to respond like them? The Bible says that here they were of probably Persia, what we would think of as Persia today, or modern Iran or Iraq, that area of the world. And by the way, many years before, hundreds of years before, there was a great man of God that had been in this area, and he was held captive there, and his name was Daniel, that we're all familiar with. He lived a very godly life, and he was very influential. And his faith had passed down to others, and probably as a result, no doubt of that, here were these wise men, here were these magi, and they were stargazers. They looked up into heaven, but let's remember this. They looked with anticipation. They looked with expectation. They fully expected God to do something great for the world. You know, isn't that a wonderful message to hear today? The fact that God is going to do something for the world. God's going to bless us in a very special way. So they lived with expectation. They lived believing that God was going to do something for them. And once they saw that star, they began to follow it, and they persevered for some Bible scholars believe as much as 2 years until they finally found out where Christ was. And the Bible says in Matthew 2, verse 11, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him, and they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So they first of all looked up to heaven, they looked up to God, expecting him to do something, believing that he was going to bless them in a special way, which he did. They persevered, they would not give up, they were faithful until they found where Christ was. When they found him, this was a baby, remember, they bowed down and worshipped him and presented him with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We need to worship the Lord today. We need to present him with our time, our talents, our abilities, whatever gifts that we can present to him. And then finally, they responded in this way correctly, that the Bible says, being warned by God in a dream, they went back to their country a different way in which they had come. Now that tells me much more than just that line does right there, that they went to their country another way. They were completely changed people after they had experienced the presence of Jesus Christ. The Bible says this, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. We've been transformed. We've been changed by the power of God. Our priorities, our values of life, our way of life should all change. That's exactly what happened to the wise men as they went back to their own country. So here were people who obeyed the Lord. Here were people who worshiped the Lord. Here were people who told others about the Lord Jesus Christ. And here were people who worshiped and lived a changed life. Thirdly, we have responsibilities as Christians as a result of Christmas. We must carry the message of Jesus Christ into our daily lives. Now, you know, the Peanuts cartoon, and that's one of my favorites. You know, it's the guy, the writer of that is dead now, but still you see it around. I still enjoy it. It just has a lot of meaning and so forth. But one year about Christmas time in the Peanuts cartoon strip, you can see the level of reading that I do sometimes. But Peanuts, Lucy came to Charlie Brown, and they're natural enemies. You know, she's all the time wanting him to kick the football, and before he kicks it, she pulls it away. That's a big joke. And when he's pitcher on the baseball team, a terrible baseball team, she calls him a blockhead and all this. So they're natural enemies. But anyway, they're as they do each other. One year she came to him about Christmas time and she said, listen, Charlie Brown, she said, I know that we don't normally get along, but she said, in the spirit of Christmas, why don't we put aside our differences and just treat each other with love and respect? And he said, I think that's a wonderful idea, but he said, why does it just have to be at Christmas? Why can't we carry it on the whole year long? And she said, what are you, some kind of nut? And people think that way sometimes about the spiritual things, about Christmas even. It's a one day, it's a season. It's a one day thing, or it's, you know, just a few weeks, and then they go back to their normal routine of living. When God wants us to carry the message of His love and His salvation into our everyday life, where we live, take it everywhere you are. Live for Him, glorify His name, and He will receive the glory, and you will receive the blessing when we do that indeed. Now, you know, again, some people have said that Christmas time is like jumping out of an airplane. It's probably exhilaration if your parachute opens, you know, to look at the view from up there in the sky uninhibited. But soon it's over and you have to come back to the ground. You have to come back to reality. But we need to carry the message of Jesus Christ, His love, His salvation to a lost and dying world. And we need to carry it in every area of our life. First of all, we can do this by worshiping and taking the Lord Jesus Christ into our homes. You know, that's the most important place that you worship the Lord and you serve the Lord is in your own house. You realize that? Someone called the home the greatest theological institution in the entire world because you can learn more about God there than any other place. And my 99-year-old mother is here today, and let me tell you, one of the reasons that I'm standing up here today is because I learned about Jesus Christ as a small boy. She read the Bible to me at night. We prayed together. She prayed for me. She prayed for me all during my boyhood days and probably my rebellious teenage years. When I was away in the Air Force, she sent scriptures to me, all these other things. She constantly encouraged me, Kenny, stay true to the Lord. Dedicate your life to God. God can use you in a very special way. And I appreciate the fact that I was taught those things at home. But you know, we live in a world today where a lot of Christians don't take their responsibilities that seriously. Some Christians have the attitude of this: the only time that I really need to worship and serve God and express my love to God and live a true Christian life is when I'm at church. And they just, you know, and certainly we need to serve God, we need to love God right here. But God is not something that you worship just in church alone. And some people's life, you know, when they drive up in the parking lot or when they hit the front door, they take on Christ right there. You know, they take on the language of Christ and the love of Christ and the compassion of Christ. And they take Him on right during the service. And then when the service is over, when they leave the front door, they leave Christ behind. And when they get home, it's a different story. You think God is pleased with that? Certainly He's not. And let me tell you what. If your experience with Christ does not work in your home, does not work in your marriage, does not work before your children, if you don't live a godly life before them, I guarantee you it's not going to make a strong impression upon their lives. They'll come up with the idea that there's nothing really to Christianity. But when they see it in the home, when they see it in your life, when they see every day, this is where we learn to love God. This is where we learn to love and respect each other. This is where the most important lessons of life are learned. Let's take Christ into our home. Let's say, second of all, take Christ and realize our responsibility is to carry Christ to our workplace. You know, how you serve your employer, how hard you work for Him, is an indication of your faith in Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that we're to honor those who deserve honor and respect those who deserve respect, and that's a lot of areas. Paul even told the slaves to be faithful to their master. But when we go out there in the work world and we live a Christian life and we let our light show shine, the light of God's love shine before us, we are a perpetual testimony of what Christ can do for them. We need to take Christ into our workplace. And then finally, we need to take Christ into our future. In a week now from right now, we'll be in a brand new year. And by the way, I cannot believe that we're already 17 years practically into the year 2000. Seems like yesterday that it was just 2000, and now it's 17 years later almost. Time passes fast. We don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. Let's realize our responsibilities to remember the gift that God has given to us. Let's realize our responsibility of responding correctly to Christ, responding with obedience and love and telling others about Him. Let's realize our responsibilities of taking Christ into our home and our workplace and every place that we go. We do this, and we will get the main message of Christmas. God will bless us. He will use our lives in a very special way. I'm going to ask you to do this. Those of you that will and feel like doing so, let's come forward. Let's have a closing prayer together that God will bless us and we'll be a blessing to the world during this Christmas season and throughout our entire lives. Would you join me at the front, those of you that can and will? Join hands with someone else if you can. Let's just have a time of special prayer together. Let me join in this as well. Let's form a circle right here if we can. Let's pray that God will bless us in a very special way during this Christmas season. And as we go forth for the coming year, the coming days ahead, that we'll be a perpetual witness for Him. That He'll use our lives individually, He'll use our lives in this church to be a blessing to this community and this city. Pastor Ken, would you lead us in prayer?
Father God, as we this day stop and celebrate,
yes,
Your wonderful plan, Your wonderful gift, as we celebrate the birth of our Savior and why He came to earth to redeem us, Father, we praise You. And Father, we have no idea what our future holds this year. But we do know, Father, that You have a purpose in everything that happens, that You have a plan laid out, and that, Father, we would trust You in it. And that, Father, we would cling to the claims of Christ and His promises, to that promise that He is Emmanuel, God with us.
Yes.
That we never walk alone. That You're always with us.
Yes.
Bless our families, Lord. May Jesus Christ be praised in all that we do and everything that we say. That this church, Father, might be a lighthouse of hope,
yes,
for those who are hurting. Make that gift come alive in and through us, in Jesus' precious name. And we all said together,
amen.
Amen. Amen.